AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Mixed trade in the grain markets with spring wheat lower, winter wheat slightly higher, corn slightly lower, and solid gains in the soy complex. Live and feeder cattle futures were choppy, but ended the day on the defensive, while lean hog futures found a way to close higher after five consecutive lower closes.
Live from a routine Monday afternoon via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. Today we'll have Phil Conrad of Tradus LLC, chart update with Carrie Artek of Artek Advisory. Right after the news with Michelle Rook, we'll get price action perspective from Jack Scoville of the Price Futures Group. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
And by routine Monday afternoon at AgriTalk, what you mean by that is it feels like the wheels are about to fall off.
Right. Routine.
Yeah.
Routinely.
Yeah. Pretty routine.
Ambling along.
Thank you, Big Apple.
All right.
Appreciate that. That is Big Apple Joe Stackler. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Let's bring in Michelle Rook, a national reporter for Ag Day TV. Michelle, how are you?
Hey, not too bad.
Okay. So we just got, they just started coming through emails. We knew that there was an announcement coming at about 2 o'clock. We got it, and it looks like I'm looking at the one from Sid Miller's, Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller. A mysterious disease has been working its way through the Texas Panhandle, puzzling the ag industry. Today, Sid Miller received confirmation from USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack and APHIS that the mystery disease has been identified as a strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza, commonly known as bird flu. To date, three dairies in Texas, one in Kansas, have tested positive for HPAI. So it's making the jump, Michelle, from birds to bovines.
Yeah, going cross species, which we don't like to see. And I think there was a Missouri goat farm that had HPAI as well.
I think it was Minnesota, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Minnesota?
I can't remember.
I knew it was an M, but I couldn't remember if it was Missouri or Minnesota. But, right. It was Minnesota.
And when it made the jump to the goat, you got to pay attention to that. But now that it's in that dairy herd, and it sounds like it is it's not causing mortality. It's flu-like symptoms. It's cutting into production on aged cows 10% to 20%. So it just takes time to get over it, but got to get this one figured out, because if it continues to morph and becomes, you know, more infectious to bovines, then we got a real problem out there. So.
Yeah, we don't want a pandemic.
No, God, no. That's the last thing we want.
Yeah.
So, yep. Okay. We better keep going on the news here.
Yep. We'll definitely be following that on all of our Farm Journal outlets for news. So keep in touch, folks. Well, let's start off with soft red winter wheat futures for May. We opened higher and pushed through resistance at 560 before turning back to close slightly lower with a low range close. MHRW wheat futures also spiked resistance at $6 before falling back to post a low range close. Export inspections in the week ending March 21, ending at 315,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Traders said the unwillingness of corn to follow beans to the upside also weighed on today's wheat prices. July HRW wheat was 0.75 cents higher at 585.5. July SRW wheat up 1.25 at 570.75. And spring wheat for July closing at 664.25, down 1.5 cents. So pretty quiet day.
Pretty quiet, but the winter wheat guys are trying to figure out exactly what the condition of the crop is. Looking for some updates from USDA in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I think we get those out this afternoon, so we'll keep watching those. Export inspections of corn in the week ending March 21st did total 1.228 million metric tons, also in line with trade expectations. Weather forecast for Brazil's Safrinha corn crop area is generally dry, and there is risk that stress on the crop will increase this week. Corn export demand remains good, but not great. Traders say if importing countries increase purchases of U.S. corn due to concerns about supplies out of Brazil, that's when crop stress should encourage higher U.S. corn prices. May corn futures stuck in a sideways trading range, though, the contract posting an inside trading day with a mid-range open and a low-range close. May corn futures 1.5 cents lower, 437 and three quarters. Dees corn at 474 and three quarters, down a half penny.
Yeah, stuck in that sideways trading range. Yep. Not sure what's going to bust it out right now.
We'll see if the reports do it or not. Soybean futures got back the bulk of Friday's losses, with futures posting a low range open and high range close. That puts May beans back on top of the pivotal $12 level, but the contract stopped just short of a full test of resistance of Friday's high of 12.11 and three. 12.11 and a quarter, excuse me. Soybean export inspections in the week ending March 21st, totaling 769,000 metric tons, also in line with trade estimates. The Brazil soybean crop now estimated to be about 70% harvested, matching last year's pace. May soybeans 16 and three quarter cents higher at 12.09 and a quarter. Novi beans closed at 11.98 and three quarters, up 11 and three quarter cents.
Yeah, that bean crop down there being about 70% harvested, it's basically in line with the pace that we saw a year ago. But, Michelle, when that bean crop was at 70% harvested a year ago, it seems like Brazil was having much more luck, or was much more aggressive in selling that bean crop forward. And there was more of the bean crop that was already hedged through the U.S. system. So
absolutely.
I'm not exactly sure what is happening with it right now, but we'll learn more about that as time goes on. What else you got?
July cotton elastic 92.63, up 78 points, and April live cattle were 130 lower at 186.20. April feeders 105 lower at 250.45, reacting to the cattle on feed report, obviously. And yep. April hogs 57.5 higher, 85.15.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That April live cattle features, they gap lower in a big way.
Lower. Mm-hmm.
Then they had to rally to fill the gap, and then they fell all the way back to the opening range for the closing bell. You know, so they gave back everything that they gained earlier in the day. You know, that cattle on feed report with the placements coming in above trade expectations, they just pulled. I don't know exactly how to word this. But they just pulled the calves forward, didn't they, Michelle?
I would think so, because we didn't place as many in January because of the weather.
Right.
So
right.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
And remember, we're comparing to a really low number a year ago.
Right. So it's not like just because we placed more calves in February that all of a sudden our supply side issues are fixed. Although, you know, they are bringing in a few more calves from Canada, more calves coming in from Mexico. So we can't ignore that. But at the same time, we've still got an ultra skinny supply of feeder cattle coming to this market for the foreseeable future.
I also want to mention we had record cash trade last week. That is very bullish.
Exactly. And a little bit of trade around 190 in Iowa today, I was hearing.
Yeah. You bet.
Good stuff, Michelle. Thank you so much.
Okay, you bet.
All right. That is Michelle Rook, national reporter for Ag Day TV. We're going to talk grain market fundamentals with Phil Conrad from Tradus LLC next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Trying to get through more of the press release from the Texas Commission of Agriculture. And, Tyne Morgan had a story on AgWeb at the end of last week talking about this mysterious disease that was into the dairy herd, pretty much had it spot on. Cattle impacted with HPAI or bird flu exhibit the flu-like symptoms, including fever and thick or discolored milk, accompanied by a sharp reduction in milk production, averaging between 10 and 30 pounds per cow throughout the herd. Economic impacts to facilities are ongoing as herds that are greatly impacted may lose up to 40% of their milk production for 7 to 10 days until the symptoms subside. So needing to get in front of what is happening with the bird flu making the jump to bovine. And they'll be working hard on it, no question about it. All right, Phil Conrad, Tradus LLC, is our guest analyst today. Phil, it's good to talk with you again, buddy. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Chip. The cold's blowing in, and you know what? My Huskers let me down again on Friday, so it's just another day here in the Western Plains, I guess.
Dude, I am telling you, when I reached out last week to get you on the show, it was with the full intention of being able to celebrate the Huskers' first win in the NCAA tournament.
I've given up celebrating the Huskers. Yeah, I'm done with it. I'm a huge fan, but I'm putting all happiness aside.
Don't do that. Come on, they had a good year.
Hey, we'll take it. You know, it's nice to be talking about basketball in March and not spring football. So that's a step in the right direction.
That's right. That is correct. They had a good year. How did they finish in the Big Ten? Was it third?
They lost semifinals. So third. I mean, they finished third. Yes, they were the third seed in the tournament. So
yeah,
great year. We can't complain.
It's fantastic.
We got Fred signed an extension. So hopefully no one comes knocking on his door either.
Yeah, that's as good as the paper written on it. You know that.
That is the truth.
All right, let's get to it real quick. Are you picking up any chatter about what happened in the cattle market today? We had that negative reaction on the open from the cattle on feed report and then rallied all the way back, filled the gap, and then fell all the way back to the opening range today. Just kind of did a round trip.
Yeah, all the way around the world. I tell you what, it is nice to see at least we held support on June fats there, kind of that 181 type level. Hold that. We'll see if we get any follow through to the lower tomorrow. I guess if you do, just looking at moving averages, you probably got a decent chance going back to the 176. Let's hold some support here. Cattle, let them do their deal. We're going to have some ups and down days. But like I said, hold support. Let's see what kind of follow through we get through the rest of the week here.
Yeah. Yeah. Strength in the cash cattle trade at the end of last week. Strength in the cash trade, although very, very light cash trade today. There was some. And I think the market needs a downside correction. That's the biggest thing that I'm looking at right now in live cattle.
Well, I think you look at just say technically too, we need to go back and forth, you know, kind of the oversold category.
Yep.
And bounce off that and see if we can't work back higher. But we've been on a hell of a run since, 162 back kind of late no. So yeah, I think we're going to add that back. We went back and filled some gaps from the previous chart then. And like I said, they're going to, everything ebbs and flows. And so, yeah, yes, maybe that report Friday wasn't overly friendly, but does the overall trend and overall fundamentals of cattle lead you to believe we can put in higher prices and there'll be better days? Yes, most definitely.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. I look at the way the corn traded today, ending up in that July contract down 0.75 cents. That makes sense to me. I look at July beans up 16.25. I'm not sure if that does make sense to me ahead of the quarterly grain stocks and the prospective plantings report on Thursday. What lit a fire in the soy complex?
That is a great question. Now, I will say, you look at just technically speaking, again, we probably got a little more bouncing off moving averages to say that's more supportive in the soybean world than it is in the corn world. I don't know if it had any bearing on the report coming up. I think barring anything, you probably got to be less optimistic probably about both commodities. But if you're going to say one that could come in lower acreage, you would put your money on beans and not corn in that situation. So are we trying to maybe build some of that in? Beans, you really got to think, could go back on the July contract and try to test that 1250 and then above that to 1276. Beans have a lot stronger seasonality, not that corn doesn't. But beans have gotten beaten down so bad. And you look over the last 20 years from, say, a harvest type October 1st price to April 1st price, usually we're higher at some point come April 1st or before then. And we just haven't had that this year. So do you get more money flow, I guess, to come the bean way? And obviously just their swings can be greater. But to say it makes sense, it doesn't. You know, if you flip over to corn, we're just so choppy and sideways, it's hard to want to do much of anything other than try to take advantage of the latest 30-cent rally in the last, 30 days or so.
Yeah, yeah. Back on beans, looking at the chart, I know it's been a nice move. I mean, we've gone from 1150 up to 1235, roughly.
Yep.
Is there any reason to think that we in the July beans, where is that gap? 13, 11.75 at the top of the gap. Any reason to think that we can't go back up there and fill that?
No. Honestly, I think that's a great target price. Now, you don't want to hold all of your beans for it. I'm not in that camp. But to say we won't go back and fill it, gaps get filled, right? What's the fundamental catalyst to get there? It'll be obvious in hindsight. But I think right now you got to say, well, there's a good chance that could fill. You know, if you're sitting on, just take it down to percentages. What I've been breaking down to clients is, okay, we've had that, 80-cent rally of beans off the lows. Mm-hmm. Let's take a third off here. You probably need some cash flow. Quickest thing you can turn to cash, beans. Mm-hmm. Let's hit another third towards that 1276 level. And then the other third at the top end there to see if we fill that gap.
Good.
It's good risk management to stair step your way out, because you don't know that gap. It could be August before it gets filled. And you just don't know what the rollover and what our weather is going to be and everything else. But you don't want to leave it all on the table, hoping, and all of a sudden it's August 15th and you got nothing done. So, overall, so, I think it's going to get filled. Yes.
When, so, if that gap does get filled, and then the market kind of, you know, sits back and consolidates for a bit, makes a move up through 1350, does that just become a new crop play at that point?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I don't see, in my opinion, if you're selling a third now and then you're waiting for that gap on the other two thirds, you're saying goodbye. You got to part ways with your 23 crop. Focus then on the 24 and say, okay, we're going to make, if it stays at a 23-cent inverse to the NOV, that's great. We go to 1350, you're selling $13+ beans for new crop, and that's a home run. Well, I shouldn't say home run. It's a way better situation than what you're in today. So you just got to piecemeal things out. You're never going to make the right decision all in one day, right? You can make the argument here if you wanted to go buy some calls, great. But I think you got to part ways with this crop and not let your 23 marketings distort your 24 expectations either, is a big thing I've been trying to tell clients.
I like that. It sounds to me like you want to be opportunistic.
Yes.
Yep.
Very much so. Well, I think I don't know. overall, this coming up intentions report, you got the intentions, but you also have quarterly stocks. Typically, your soybeans are going to come in higher than expectations. They have for the last 6 years, ranging from, say, 12 million bushels to 77 million. And so why not bite some off here thinking, well, we could roll back over into the depth of that rollover. You don't know. But then you got to think, well, we're going to have weather. There's other things that are going to play into it that can give us another run at it. And who knows, do exports or some sort of demand pick up in the meantime. But you got to have the expectation set today that you better reward an 80-cent rally and refocus to what you want to do with the rest of your old crop sitting at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not just on the grain stocks. Soybean acres, the prospective plantings, and it hasn't been a huge difference, but it has been coming in at least a touch heavier than actual bean plantings. So, yeah, there are lots of things to think about going into these reports. There's a reason that the March report moves prices. You know,
that's 100%.
That's exactly right. Okay, we're talking with Phil Conrad, Tradis LLC. When we come back, we're going to run through this, kind of the same thing on corn, and then see where the conversation takes us here on AgriTalk.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com. Check out where the markets closed. July HRW wheat futures 0.75 cents higher, 585.5. July SRW wheat up 1.25 to 570.75. May corn futures 1.5 cents lower, 437.75. December corn futures closed at 474.75, down 0.5 cents on the day. May beans 16.75 cents higher, 1209.25. November soybeans closed at 1198.75, up 11.75 cents. April live cattle futures $1.30 lower at 186.20. April feeders 105 lower at 250.45, and April hogs were 57.5 higher at 85.15. Give Pro Farmer a try at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We are in the middle of a conversation with Phil Conrad from Tradis LLC. Phil, open up your July corn chart. Let's start with that and try to decipher a little bit about what is going on in this corn market besides a whole bunch of sideways over the past 3 weeks.
Well, it's been a boring trade, but I will say maybe feels good compared to where we were for 60 days there. You know, sideways feels like a home run compared to being down every day. So, you know, where do we go? We're bouncing on that, 50-day moving average, the 452 level. We closed above it last week, but couldn't get anything sustained above it. Are we just waiting to see what happens Thursday to do something one way or another that would seem to make sense? Is the downside that great, maybe? I don't know. We have a lot of corn. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's what we're going to get told. So,
yeah,
I guess from a marketing aspect, And really, this it gets trickier, I think, on corn than beans, just because if you're holding a lot of old crop corn, you need to be a seller at, you know, these type of levels on some portion. And that comes down to your risk tolerance, honestly. If you're 10 to 30%, lean more on the heavier just because you do have another crop that you're going to plant here.
Yeah.
But it's hard because you thought this crop was worth, well, six at one point. I think everyone at harvest still thought five to 550 were realistic numbers. So this is hard to wrap your head around of selling, say, 450 cash in this environment. But you don't want the alternative isn't great. And although it doesn't feel like the downside's massive for the next 60 days or so, and I would tend to agree, it doesn't shouldn't be with a seasonal uptrend. But at some point, basis is going to open wide open. And there's a lot of statistics that tell you better have it sold by like June 10th before the cash market really falls apart. So that's probably my biggest concern is let's at least get some basis locked in the next 30 days. Looking forward, you'll get a pop here, or you should be seeing it probably already of April, May type stuff. Get something proactive done and have targets out there to be a seller, because I don't know. I'm not this super bearish person, but I think you got to really be cognizant in the market we're in that lower prices are definitely on the table, and another 50 cents lower hurts a lot more than 50 cents higher, because it's going to affect two crops at that point.
Man, you got that right. That is well put. And very, very true what you just said. Now, what is it that might have you less bearish than many in the market? I mean, is it the positioning of the funds?
I think that's a part of it. I think it all plays a part. Hitting some technical strength here, right? And so I think you got to reward the market again. And the percentage basis, do you do 20 to 30%? You got to run a pencil pretty hard, do you think?
Yeah.
Our feed use is going to be higher this year. You see people saying from 50 to 150 million bushels. But when does that actually show up on the balance sheet? That's the hard part. It's probably later in the year, just USDA is slower to change that stuff. History would tell you we're not going to see a lower acre number on Thursday. Usually the deviations to the higher. And, on average, you're probably closer to a million to 2 million acres higher. And beans, kind of the same thing, lower. And so six out of the last 8 years on corn, we've seen that increase in acres. If you see that this year and we're flirting with 93 million acres, we're in tough sledding. And, you can say hot, dry summer and bang the drum on weather all you want. And I'm not going to, make that assumption. There's definitely a lot of things that would lead you to believe that, and that we could see a decreased yield. The reality is we need a decreased yield so we don't have 2.4, 2.5 billion bushels of corn.
Right.
Can you be optimistic still? Right.
Right. On the yield side of things, you got to remember too, that if you do end up with a million more planted corn acres and you end up with 180 million bushels more on the supply side of the balance sheet, you got to take two bushels off the national average corn yield to remove those 180 bushels that you add with a million acres of corn.
Correct. I think there's reason to be optimistic, right?
Yep.
You can't sit here and not everything stays the same, right? And is it something in South America? Is it something demand-wise? I mean, our weather is not a told story. Do we get to May and you have wetter and colder weather? Do we get off to a poor planting start? There's a lot of what ifs, and really none of them need to come true. We just need to scare the market to the tune of giving us opportunities. And again, history would tell you that we get those opportunities. Now, there are years that just grind sideways to lower, which again, I think gets a lot harder to mentally wrap your head around on old crop than it does new today at 475. That's maybe not a horrible place to be a seller and getting something, whether it's, I've been trying to push guys more to the 20 to 40% done on new crop in some form or fashion, just because I don't want to, you know, seasonally speaking, you need to keep clipping along. And I don't want to be here in late April, 10% sold, staring at 440 new crop corn. And then you're on a prayer or marketing plan of just hoping for that to happen. And that's not not a successful way to go through it most times. Now, it's been rewarding the last few years at times, but you got a plan that history would tell you will roll back over. And so it's, you know, there's definitely bullish things out there. It's just,
you know,
you any acre number you throw at this or anything on paper perceives to be bearish today.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Couple of things. Things don't stay the same. You are absolutely right on that. So you've got to be prepared for that change. And how smart is it to say, listen, here's what I don't want to have happen, and I'm going to take action right now to make sure that I don't find myself in that situation that I don't want, you know, 6 weeks down the road. I think that's just smart, a smart way of looking at it and giving yourself some incentive to do things on the risk management side of the market, Phil. I think that's really good.
You know, it's we always say expect nothing and prepare for everything. So you got to put yourself in the mindset if the corn's a dollar higher or a dollar lower, how do you feel? And, you know, last few years, there's probably been times a dollar lower didn't scare you as much. But a dollar lower in this environment really could put you in a bad financial situation. So you need to be more, say, risk on to or risk off to be a proactive marketer. And however that looks for you, that's different for everybody. And, you know, you could, there's no way it can go lower. There's no way this and that. You got to throw those ideas out the window because you just don't know what's going to happen. And that's the reality of marketing is that. And the risk would seem to be, maybe we say this every year, but the risk seems to be higher. Your cost of failure is greater today than it was, say, a year ago when corn was at 560.
Gotcha. I like it. What are you looking at in the outside markets? Whether is it the dollar, is it the energies, interest rates? What's got your attention out there?
Dollar, definitely. You got to look at crude oil, too. It's made a nice little run. Interest rate deal, a lot of different thoughts on that. I don't think you'll maybe see the drop that they keep talking about. But we had a speaker come to one of our meetings and he kind of said that things are going to stay probably more elevated interest rate wise than the Fed's telling you. And some of that's the thought that, you know, Powell going out the door doesn't want to be responsible for higher inflation rates after he leaves and basing it back on that. And it just seems like we're in that environment that they're going to stay where they're at, which then if you take that back to grain marketing, you argue you need to become a very aggressive seller earlier in the year and get your cash back home. I think that's a big part of it. You know, energies in general, can we get a pop there? Like I said, crude's good off the lows, but it was trying to rally when corn was going down too. I just think you got to also remember, it's not that election years mean a ton to agriculture, but your overall risk maybe is greater to something erratic happening due to the environment and the world we're in that could be bullish or bearish. And so some of that stuff you listen and read, and I try to pay attention to kind of that global political landscape just solely because it interests me and because there's risks out there that could affect the marketings. And that's where you got to lean back to say, you don't know, but you know, if then this, and how are we going to react to it, and how are we going to stay in a position that gets us to next year and gets us to see a different set of marketings? And you don't know what could happen demand wise. There could be a lot of things that change in that world too. And honestly, our demand is very robust right now, and so you got that going for you. You can say exports are poor, but you know what? They're running significantly ahead of last year, which they need to, right, to fulfill USDA values. But those are all good things that if we were to have a shrinking crop at any given point, it starts getting trade fired up. So as much as I you hate to say wars and things of that nature are things you need to keep your eye on, but it's just where we're at, and it has been for 2 years at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, the demand, at least living up to expectations, gets rid of a yeah but argument, and so do some of the wars and geopolitical hotspots. You're exactly right. Good stuff, Phil. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, good times, Chip. That was good.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. That is Phil Conrad, Tradus LLC, Carry Our Tax, up next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Really good conversation with Phil. Phil Conrad, Tradus LLC. Couple of real gems in there on just ways to think about your marketing and your risk management and avoiding situations that you do not want to find yourself in when it comes to marketing. What a great way of deciding, hey, now is the time for me to make some moves and get things started. All right, it's Monday afternoon. That means it's time to take a look at the charts. Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory, joins us. Hey, Carrie, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, Chip. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing just fine, just fine. ArtakAdvisory.com, A-R-T-A-C Advisory.com. Go there, find the 2-week free trial, click it, and Carrie will get you started on a 2-week free trial of his service. But for now, let's go ahead and figure out what you're thinking in May beans here, Carrie.
Yeah, I'm continuing with last week's lineup just to keep people abreast. The May soybeans, last week I mentioned 12.21¾. That's a long-term trend-defining speed line coming off the actual contract high from a couple of years ago. That was at 12.21¾ and 12.19¾. This week we closed 12.09¼. Today it does represent a ceiling of resistance that can contain buying into May expiration, and below which this market can quite easily fall to new lows. By expiration, 11.46 half in reach over the next 2 to 3, 3 to 5 weeks, and even possibly to 10.89 even long-term support by May expiration. I kind of doubt 10.89 even as a target unless we were to close below 11.46 half, and then I see it as a 3 to 5 week likelihood. 10.89 even can contain not only May contract selling into its expiration, but broader soybean market selling pressures through summer trade. Now, if we close the week above 12.19¾, that actually indicates, I think, a good low through the balance of May contract life. The next 3 to 5 weeks then likely to claw its way back to the 12.77¼ level. 12.77¼ is a 3-year channel bottom that we settled below in early January, represents long-term resistance, able to contain buying not only into May expiration, but possibly broader soybean market, you know, like July contract buying as we move through summer trade. We got to get above 12.77¼ at the end of any week to neutralize the bearish tempo that has plagued this market for the last, I don't know, 6 months to a year. On to June live cattle, another update from last week. We've got 180.95 as trend-defining support. That's a rising speed line off that December low, and that was a little lower last week. 180.10 last week rises to 180.95. Today, we closed at 181.60, and we had a 180.75 low. So we did test the trend-defining support, and above which, I think 184 even is likely over the next couple of weeks, and we could push all the way into the upper, sorry, not upper, but mid-190s. 194.02 is the June contract high from last September. I think that is ripe for retesting by June expiration, holding above 180.95, closing above it this week. If we can close over the next week or two above 184 even, that is probably within just about a month or two away. 194.02, solid double top territory through the balance of June contract life. Now for the downside, if we close the week Friday below 180.95, that's a meaningful sell signal through April into May. The next 1 to 2 months then expected to fall to 171.87, which is also a meaningful long-term support area that I would expect to contain selling into June expiration. So 180.95, our floor of support, we tested it actually today, and above which we can continue higher into the mid-190s by June expiration. But if we close below it, the lower 170 is expected over the next 1 to 2 months. And finally, cotton. I mentioned how we've got last week was 93.58. This week, 93.91. We closed below that last week. That is really what I'm trying to say. We closed last week, last Friday, in a meaningful sell signal that should result in bearish continuation over the next 3 to 5 weeks down to 87.58. And as we move into later summer autumn trade, I do think the 79 even to 82 even region is in reach. We have failed to close above long-term resistance over the last couple of months after testing it a lot. And the sell signal last week below, what is it now, 93.91, just adds weight to the market as we continue through summer. Upper 70s, low 80s anticipated as a long-term objective. Now, upside, if we can close above 96.99 at the end of a week, and I don't see that happening this week, but if over the next few weeks we can close above 96.99, just the opposite, the market's momentum reverses, pivots us north into summer trade, the 113 to 115 region, then likely within 3 to 5 months, but we're a long way from that given last week's settlement below 93.58 and what is this week at 93.91. And that's all I've got, Chip.
All right. All right. Good stuff, Kerry. Thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it.
All right. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Okay. National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for March 31st through April 4th. Can you believe that? Holy smokes, all the way out to April 4 on the 6 to 10 day. Below normal temperatures expected in the upper Midwest. Northern Iowa, northern half of South Dakota, most of Wisconsin, northern half of Michigan, looking at below normal temperatures. Near normal temperatures expected west to east through the center of the Corn Belt, and then above normal temperatures expected in southern production areas, southern two-thirds of Kansas, southern three-quarters of Missouri, southern half of Illinois, looking at above normal temperatures, March 31 to April 4. Above normal temperatures, above normal precipitation expected across the entire Corn Belt from March 31 to April 4. Now, this morning, when we talked with Brett Walsh from BAMWX.com, he started to hint that we'll get back to more normal conditions as we get a little deeper into April. The 8 to 14 day for April 2nd through the 8th, National Weather Service is looking at near normal conditions, near normal temperatures across most of the country, including the Corn Belt, and near normal precipitation across most of the Corn Belt as well. All right, Justin Tupper, President, U.S. Cattlemen's Association, is going to be with us in the morning. We're going to talk about electric ID tags. We are going to talk about beef imports from Paraguay. And one way or another, we are going to learn more about bird flu making the jump from birds to bovines down in Texas. We'll do that tomorrow morning right here on AgriTalk.